Welcome to Tony TV. Inspiring people across the planet to be a little kinder and a little more gentle with each other. Delivering inspirational TV, one story at a time, from my lounge to yours. I'm your host, Tony Lontis. Good morning, Australia. Well, it's actually good afternoon, Australia, and good evening, America. You're listening to Tony Lontis on Radio Tony Everyday Business. Now, we're supposed to have a live guest today, but we've had a little bit of trouble locating her, so you're going to have to listen to me for a little while. So I am doing my seventh live show for the week, and I have to say that I'm feeling just a little weary. And as much as I love live radio, I found this week a little challenging. And the reason for that, and I was talking to TJ, my wonderful technician, just before we went live, was that people don't always do what they're supposed to do in terms of prepping themselves for the radio show. And thankfully, our guest has finally arrived. So I'm going to admit her and tell you a little bit more about the wonderful Aldwyn Altony. So Aldwyn is the director of AA Expose Media, and she has some 34 years of media experience in her life. She has an online TV show called My Media Mastery Show. She runs the Star Expose TV, Truth Expose TV, Business Expose, Health Expose TV, and is the co-host of Tech Webcast Podcast, which has had about 1 million downloads on iTunes in 7 years. She is the Mass Media Mastery Program founder and trainer, and she's also known as the Media Queen. She's a photojournalist with 35 years experience in TV, radio, print and online media worldwide. She's a speaker, author, editor, writer, MC and voiceover artist, an actor in theatre, short films and TV adverts and feature films, and founder of the Animal Action Events. So without any further ado, I would love you to meet Aldwyn, and I'm going to ask Aldwyn to unmute herself, please, darling. No, she's not. Oh. She is not unmuting, so I will.
Hello, hello. Hello, Tony. Great.
How are
Thank
you?
Thank you for that
Aldwyn?
Lovely introduction. Excellent, thank you. I'll be with you in just
okay.
1 second.
See, that's the thing with live radio. It never quite goes to plan some days. Most of the time it's pretty good, and then other days, well, things just don't work out and you just got to keep going with the flow. So whilst Aldwyn gets organized, I just want to let you know that she's also passionate about decreasing depression and suicide rates by inspiring more positive news stories in the mass media and inspiring action for the humane treatment of animals. So Aldwyn and I have a lot in common. We're both passionate about media, and in particular online media, and we're both passionate about animals. And so we were together last night on a webinar having a wonderful discussion about the power of online radio. And so it's a great privilege to have Aldwyn back with me today on Radio Tony. How are you, Aldwyn?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you, Tony.
The poor girl, obviously.
I've been running around today and I've
I know.
To this meeting, I thought I better just tidy myself up a little bit first. Sure, you don't want to see me running around naked. So, oh, not that I was naked. I didn't have clothes on.
We had such a great conversation last night about the rise of online media and its potential to balance the negativity of traditional media and the traditional radio stations and TV stations out there. And so your extensive experience is in traditional radio and media. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, Aldwyn, how do you see this rise of the online TV and online radio and streaming radio TV like we're doing today? Do you think that that is going to really start to balance out the negativity of traditional mass media?
What a great question, Tony. I love that. Oh, yeah, look, absolutely. It's actually very exciting times that we are in right now with the whole emergence of the whole mass media world, right? It's only been 15 years or so that actual social media came about, right? So my background is traditional media. I've been a photojournalist for 36 years. I've been in the media in one form or another, in TV, radio, and print. And with the whole lot of social media, what's exciting about this now is that people actually have a voice and they're actually hearing alternative points of view to what we're getting in mainstream media. Whereas once upon a time, it was just outlets that would just give us all of our news and people just believed everything they heard because they had no other options of other opinions or anything else. So now I think actually it's a very exciting time as far as content consumption goes and as far as the exciting possibility for people to put out their own news and create the news now. And what we're finding is traditional journalists are looking to social media every single day for story ideas. Okay, so what you're putting out in your social media and through your online shows, if you build up a big enough following with your online media, you often will find that people will also be headhunted, so to speak, for traditional media shows because they have such a strong following online. So very exciting times. Yeah. And that's why I work in the mass media world now, Tony, because this is the current world we're living in. You have to go where the people are. And out of the 7.8 billion people on the planet, we have 3.8 billion active social media users, which is so exciting now.
Everyone is on social media, no matter what the platform, and there's plenty to choose from. And that's the thing. You have the ability to pick what resonates with you. So if you don't like Facebook, then there's LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest. So the choice is for everyone to be able to have those important conversations. And like we did last night, and we digressed all over the place about all sorts of wonderful issues. But the thing was that by using non-traditional media, we're actually able to have those conversations that you won't necessarily see in traditional media. And again, that's why I love my shows and my ability to talk to amazing people outside of traditional media, because I wouldn't get a look in traditional media. I'm middle-aged, no experience, slightly flawed, and the ability for anyone to jump on and have a go and find their niche audience is better now than it ever was before. So you must have seen an amazing amount of changes throughout your career. And you started as a photojournalist, but then you've done the whole gamut of media. I'm thinking now about some of the famous people that you've interviewed. So Hugh Jackman, Russell Crowe, Cyndi Lauper, Debbie Harry, Jimmy Barnes, Jim Owen, and Mikey Robbins. Have you got a favourite interviewee?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know what? I loved interviewing Hugh Jackman. When I interviewed Hugh Jackman,
that would have been my pick too.
It was a face-to-face interview, and it was actually in 2003 when he put out Paperback Hero, and it was also with Claudia Carvin, who was his co-star. And I remember we went into this hotel room in Brisbane, and we had 20 minutes. All the journalists had 20 minutes to interview the stars. And I remember we got into a conversation about star signs and, Hugh Jackman. He's as stunning then as he is now, and such a beautiful person inside and out. And, one of my favorite movies of all time now is The Greatest Showman. I've seen it three times. Absolutely love it. I think there's so much magic in that movie. And I'm so proud of Hugh Jackman, who actually had a communications background. He actually studied in Western Australia, did a communications degree, interestingly, and then ended up as an actor. So he's definitely my favourite, although I did interview Charlie Sheen and Jewel on stage in LA in front of 2,500 people from 80 countries. And Charlie Sheen, I must say, as much as people people give him flack. Two and a Half Men,
yes,
when Charlie Sheen was in it, is one of my favorite comedies of all time, comedy series. Good. He was brilliant in that. And I think the amount of flack that he's gone through because of his cocaine use and sexual habits, et cetera, and now he's got HIV, you know, I just really admire him that he just keeps on soldiering on regardless of the crap that people give him. And that's the thing with all celebrities and anyone who builds their profile, you're going to have
gonna get crap.
You're going to get crap. You're going to have people that don't like you and people that do like you no matter what you do. So you may as well follow your path and do what you love and toughen yourself to criticism, right, like these celebrities have. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I've had from the celebrities I've dealt with. The ones that have survived in the industry are the ones that have stayed true to themselves. They've stayed on their path, doing what they're passionate about, and they've let the naysayers go. They haven't let it get to them. And those the celebrities that have let it get to them, they're the ones that have ended up, you know, abusing drugs and, you know, putting on a hell of a lot of weight and, you know, all sorts of other negative side effects can come from that. So you do need to toughen yourself to that. And I think if you're speaking your own truth and you're confident in yourself, it doesn't matter what other people say. Now, Tony, you and I had a differing opinion last night about, you know, masks and vaccinations and, you know, which is a hot topic. And we can spend a whole hour talking just on those topics. And, you know, we're both respectful. You have an opinion on it. I have an opinion on it. And that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And the thing is to be respectful and kind to others, no matter what their opinion, because we're getting information from all sorts of sources and we can only do what we feel is best from the information we know. Right?
So and the other thing is that, as you and I said, that ability for us to show differing sides of the story that then gives people an alternate view and then allows them to make a considered decision about what they believe. If they only see one side of the story, it's never a good thing. It's always good to have a conversation. It's always good to talk about both sides of the story. And so I can absolutely see your point of view. And just as you said to me, I can see your point of view as well, but we don't have to agree, but it's not causing an argument or angst or anything. It's just a different view. And that's what makes the world go round.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And look, there is, there's a lot of different feelings out there now with COVID and now with the lockdowns that have been happening and people are forced to wear masks. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are very confronted right now because their freedoms are in question. We're so used to having so much freedom. And now we've got to, you know, get permission to cross the border. You've got to go in quarantine for 2 weeks, you know, so people are going crazy. You know, suicide rates have gone through the roof, which is why even more so now it's so important that we get conscious to the messages that we're putting out and that we focus on getting more positive messages out there, because not only will you feel better about it, you'll be able to shift the world around you, and the ripple effect of that hopefully will help lift people's spirits and help hopefully longer term also save lives. It's very important to get conscious and to do your own research with everything.
Yeah, and question what you're hearing. Question what people say. Question what I say. Question what Oldwyn says. But don't just blindly follow and believe everything that you hear, because you'll be a better, more balanced person if you question the things that you're being told and form your own opinion about those things. So, Oldwyn, going back to Hugh Jackman, was he as lovely in person as he appears to be? So he appears to be that genuine, nice bloke. And is that the essence of what you found when talking to him in real life?
Absolutely. He was so lovely. And, you know, I mean, I know it was only a 20-minute interview that I had with him, but he was, you know, my gut feeling just said everything about this man was just stunning, you know, amazing-looking man, amazing heart. And you can see it in The Greatest Showman. I've actually seen behind-the-scenes footage of The Greatest Showman as well, where he's urging on, you know, like the This Is Me song. You know, that's such a powerful song in that, with the bearded lady doing This Is Me. That is so powerful. And watching the behind-the-scenes footage of him as he's actually watching the singers and the atmosphere that must have been going on behind the scenes with the cast and crew of The Greatest Showman, you could see he was so proud of them, and he was like, you could see all of him was there in the moment with his cast and crew. And I think that is part of what makes Hugh Jackman and anyone is in the creative field so amazing, is when they are completely present. The power is in the present.
Yes.
And when they have a heart to give and to serve. And, you know, they say there's no greater purpose than being of service.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely portrays that Mr. Nice Guy. So, favorite interview, what's the worst? What's the worst horrible one?
Oh, gosh.
Tell us about the bloopers.
Oh, wow. Look, some celebrities, I must say, and some artists, and I won't mention names because I don't like to put anyone down particularly.
That's fine.
Some performers that I've come across have had a real arrogance about them. Okay. Now, not mentioning names, but Russell Crowe was one of them. Russell Crowe was one that had a real, he had an arrogance
about him. That would have been my guess.
Not mentioning names, although Russell Crowe, as much as I admire how successful he is and how, you know, he got his start with Romper Stomper in the early days, and he's done some phenomenal. I love him as an actor, although to interview him, before I did the interview with him, his wife at the time, Danielle Spencer, she was pregnant. And their PR people said, whatever you do, don't ask her whether she's pregnant. Like, there were certain things they said, don't do this, don't ask this question. There was all these limitations on the interview before we even got to the interview, right?
Yes.
And then, and I remember Russell Crowe actually saying, you know, having the paparazzi follow you as you're scratching your ass is not a fun part of the job. Because I said, you know, how have you handled the fame? And that was one thing he said. And I remember he was very blunt. And I must say, I do like his directness. Yes. I do like how direct Russell Crowe is, although as for someone to interview, and when I interviewed him, he actually had his band 50-odd Foot of Grunt was performing at the Surfers Paradise Tavern here on the Gold Coast. So his band was coming in. I was interviewing him about that. So they wanted to focus more on that and less of his personal life. Yes. You know, they wanted to use it to promote the band. And I did see the band and it was packed and it was amazing. I was amazed actually at his talent as a performer. Although to interview him, there were short, sharp answers. It was kind of, it felt like drawing blood from a stone in a way, interviewing Russell. He wasn't a very open conversationalist. It was short, sharp jabs and like next, you know, it was like, right. Like it was just, he was a direct kind of guy. Right. So I found that one a little bit more difficult to interview him. Yeah. And because of all the restrictions around what we could and couldn't say and couldn't ask, I found that really limiting too. And I don't like working that way in general. I like to flow with interviews that I do, as you do. And I find that's always a better way to go personally. So that was probably one of my least favorite interviews was Russell Crowe.
So you love the interview process and you love all the things that you've done, but now your focus is on your mass media mastery programs and helping people with their media. So I'd really love you to tell our audience about that program and what you do.
Thank you, Tony. Well, actually, what you spoke at last night was a Mass Media Tribe event. So this is a free event that I put on every 2 weeks, Mass Media Tribe. And this is a way that we help people get their message to the masses using online and offline media. I give a lot of strategies on how to get publicity. And now when you're looking to get publicity, we're looking at TV, radio, print, online and offline, right? The strategies though, to have a journalist do a story about you as opposed to paying for advertising is a whole process. And having that behind the scenes knowledge of having worked as a journalist for many years behind the scenes, having been the recipient of hundreds of press releases a day, many of which were not relevant to the audience and many of which went straight in the bin, right? I can say, and in fact, I have the only business I know of that guarantees publicity for our clients. So what I do is I do these free events called Mass Media Tribe. Now I do webinars as well, and I do workshops called How to Gain $1 million worth of free publicity. And then from there, I give people the opportunity where they can join the Mass Media Mastery Program. And with that, I outline all the steps. I have a 7-step process to getting free publicity.
Yes.
I call them my awesome media magic formula. And it does
come. Yes, I was going to ask you about that in a moment.
The shape of a wand. It comes in the shape of a wand, our formula. And because of, you know, the Media Queen branding is all about creating magic and also celebrating your uniqueness and stepping up and stepping out with your message. It's in the shape of a wand. And the awesome formula I'll outline for you today, for those that are wondering what the awesome stands for. It is an acronym. And this is the process that I use helping people get free publicity with the Mass Media Mastery Program. Now, the program is also listed on my website. People can check that out as well, which is on aaexpos.com. If you go to services there, you'll see everything included in the Mass Media Mastery Program. And we have some phenomenal people in the program, coaches, experts, authors, and I actually have lifetime access with the current offer that I'm doing, which is amazing. Yeah. So we've been rebranding people. We've been doing social media marketing. Really, it's a lot of one-on-one time with me currently, what I've got on my website, although that will be changing. So if anyone wants to do some one-on-one time with me, this is really the best offer I have at the moment on my website. But just to go back to the Great, fantastic. Well, that's brilliant. I can't wait to work with you, Tony. I think you're amazing. So that would be wonderful. So the awesome steps, the A of the awesome stands for articulate story. Now, your X factor is your story. Okay, so no one else has your story, and the media journalists are looking for great stories every single day. They need stories. And in fact, by you presenting your story in a way that the journalist is going to like it, you're going to increase your chances of getting free publicity. All right, plus you'll be sharing your story. And every time you share your story, you'll be building your fame, fortune, your freedom, and you'll be leaving a legacy every single time you share your story and get media coverage. Right. So articulating your story is the first step, and looking at what is it that you want to promote. Is it a product, a service? Is it a message you want to get out about something? Is it something you want to shift in society? Now, also in this step, you need to look at what are you passionate about. Now, two things I'm really passionate about is good news. Okay. And the reason I'm passionate about good news, I actually have a personal story around that. And what you'll find is that everyone who's passionate about anything, there's a personal story behind it. There'll be some reason you are passionate about what you're passionate about. So with the good news as an example, I'm a stand for good news in the world. Why am I a stand for good news? Well, because I want to lift people's spirits, decrease depression, anxiety, and suicide rates. Why? I've had depression. I've had four friends take their own lives before the age of 45. Now, there's about 1 million people a year worldwide who take their own lives, okay, even more now since COVID, right? So that's something very close to my heart. I've had personal experience with depression. I've had four friends take their own lives. And I believe that the news that we put out and we consume makes the world of difference to how we actually do life. The other personal story I have around that is my dad, every single day when I was growing up, my dad every day, and he still does it to this day, God bless him, he's 82, every single day he watches the news, okay, the mainstream news every day, not just one news channel. He goes from one news channel to the next news channel. So growing up with all this negative news, I ended up being depressed and miserable and angry, and I didn't feel I could express my anger. My dad said anger is danger. And I remember one night after watching the news as a little girl, I went up and I was just crying, and I said to my dad, why is the world so awful? Why are people like this? Why is it so cruel? And he said, well, that's just how it is. That's just how the world is.
Yeah.
And you know, so I grew up actually really angry, and I felt like and anger internalized is also depression.
Yeah.
Anger internalized. And so that's part of why I'm so passionate now about good news, and why I created the Global Good News Day on the 8th of the 8th, 18. We've now had our third event we've just had recently, and the Global Good News Challenge I've just launched during COVID, which is a way that everyone can hop in and do Facebook Lives every single month. We have a different challenge, and you can do a Facebook Live every day and just share your name, what you do, three things you're grateful for, and a piece of good news. So coming into gratitude, you know, the thing is, no matter how much you feel that the world is going crazy right now, you can't control what's happening out there. You can control how you're going to respond to what you are hearing and what you are seeing in the mainstream media and what politicians are telling you. Okay, you can control how you're going to be about it. And by being grateful in the midst of any kind of crisis or depression or whatever you want to call what's currently happening, the pandemic, in the midst of all of that, you can choose to be grateful in any moment. And because the thing is, things can always be worse. Things can always be worse. We talked about this last night, right? So it's looking at what can you be grateful for right now? And the more grateful you are, the more opportunities you attract to yourself and the better quality of life you're going to have. You're going to have a better experience of your life, and those around you will also be wanting to hang out with you and be drawn to you because you have a positive, uplifting vibe, right? So that's the first thing. Good news. So that's the first thing. Now, the other thing I'm passionate about is animal welfare. Now, why am I passionate about animal welfare? Well, when I was 6 years of age, my parents went to Turkey. They were actually born in Turkey. They migrated to Australia in 1970 from Turkey. And at 6 years of age, we went to Turkey, and there was a big sheep that I befriended at my grandma's place, this beautiful big sheep. Mm-hmm. And I remember every morning I'd go and run down to the sheep, and I'd give the sheep a big hug. And I was so excited. One day we're taking the sheep out for a walk, and I remember it was a beautiful sunny day. There was a big field, walking along beside the sheep. And next thing I know, these three guys are twice my size at least, came and grabbed the sheep, two by the legs, one by the head. They pulled out a big knife and they cut the sheep's throat in front of me. Now, I was so horrified by this. I screamed my head off. You can imagine the sheep is squealing. You know, you can just imagine the sounds and everything. I've got my family, there's about 10, 15 members of my family. This is all normal for them, because what was actually happening is that this sheep was being sacrificed as a Greek Orthodox tradition, like in the Bible, when Job wanted to sacrifice his son. They said, God said, no, sacrifice a sheep, right? So it's part of that tradition. So when family come from a long way away to visit family, it's a sign of prosperity where they sacrifice a sheep and then they feed the meat to the poor village people in the area. That's what was actually happening. However, as a six-year-old, even if that was explained to me, I wouldn't have understood any of that. I would have been, that's my friend the sheep, don't you touch my friend the sheep, right? I'm just going to go with my friend the sheep and we'll go live happily ever after on the other side of the field away from the family. That's what I would have said, right? But no, that's not what happened. So I was absolutely traumatized by that experience as a six-year-old. And I remember my dad was holding me back, and I remember just bolting to the side of the road and I sat on the curb and I bawled my eyes out. And I just remember in that moment, my innocence was gone. And I still get emotional now. I still get emotional talking about it. You know, that was so traumatic for me as a six-year-old. And I remember hating my parents. I hated the world. I was miserable.
When you're talking about a big white fluffy sheep, we recently lost one of our goats called Jasper, and he was a Pygora, an Angora pygmy goat cross. And he looked like a sheep, but had a smart, intelligent brain like a goat. And I tell you, I miss that goat. So when you're telling me that story, I'm like, oh no. And he spent his last night snuggled up to me on the veranda, because we knew that he was desperately ill and the likelihood of him surviving was not great. And that sheep stayed by my side and rested his head on my chest all night. It's only a month or so ago, so it was freezing cold, but his Angora fur was so warm and cuddly, and he just snuggled up to me. And I'll miss him forever, old one. So when you're telling me that story, I'm like, oh no.
Sending you love about.
Yeah, I feel the same way about. I feel the same way about animals. I just, you know, people will say to us things like, oh, those goats would be good in a curry. Well, man, if you came near my goats, I would defend them with my life. Seriously, I love those goats. I love those llamas. Our llamas protect the goats. And I think animals have souls. And I know that can be an unpopular view for people, but animals have something pure about them. They give and love unconditionally. And we humans could learn a hell of a lot from the way that animals are.
Absolutely. I love that you have a whole animal farm at your place, Tony. I think that's so awesome.
You go back to that gratitude. Like, I get grateful just watching those goats in the paddock, and as you've had a battle with depression, and so have I, depression and anxiety, and part of my depression and anxiety toolkit are those goddamn goats. Like, you cannot be upset when you go and sit with a goat and they put their head over your shoulder and just love on you. If you're feeling sad, all you have to do is walk downstairs and talk to one of them, any one of them, and you will feel instantly better. So for me, they are part of what keeps me healthy, happy, and whole. And in this day and age where anxiety and depression are so rife, I am so grateful for those goats.
That's beautiful. I love that story. And I'm a goat of a different kind, actually. I'm a Capricorn, so astrological goat.
Yes. I think goats are my spirit animal. My oldest daughter is a Capricorn, so I love all. See, we have a lot of similarities, Olwen.
That's amazing. That's right. I'm very close to Aquarius, to 16th of January, same day as my dad. So coming back to the just get back on point, because I want to go through these awesome
acronyms.
Yeah, make sure people get it. So look at what you're passionate about. So with the animal welfare work, after years of seeing animal cruelty, personally, every time I'd see animal cruelty, I would be so upset by it. And I kept feeling hopeless and helpless to do anything about it. I just felt like this is such a big issue. How am I going to save the world from animal cruelty? How am I going to help the animals? And then what happened is I saw a documentary, and this is a real turning point for me. It was called Earthlings. It was a documentary about how humans have treated animals over time, how we've used them for food, clothing, scientific research. And I remember watching this, and it was really hard to watch. And a lot of people with these animal documentaries, they say, oh, I can't watch that, right? And I tell you what, it was really hard to watch. There was times I kind of had to turn around, but then I wanted to know what was going to happen. And so I'd turn back. But by the end of this documentary, which narrated by Jacquin Phoenix, I was literally holding my throat and crying. I was bawling my eyes out again, And I thought, what can I do? And then I did a landmark self-expression leadership program, which was a 3.5 month program. And during that, you actually go out in the community and you do something you're passionate about. And out of that same program, things like Clean Up Australia Day, Are You Okay Day, Daffodil Day, Red Nose Day have all come out for people who have done that program. And so there I was sitting there in this 3.5 month program. About 3 weeks in, I thought, oh, I want to do something for animals. What can I do for animals? Right? I thought, oh, I'll just do a fun day. I'll just do a fun day. Oh, what can I call it? Oh, being a journalist, playing around with some words. I thought, Animal Action Day. And so I Googled online. There was no Animal Action Day anywhere in the world. So in 2007, I created the world's first Animal Action Day. And we had about 30 performers and speakers. And we write, and I get so emotional now because there's actually a video on YouTube from that very first event. And I remember in that video, I said, I hope this will be a worldwide annual event. And it was all about awareness, appreciation, respect for animals. And now we've done 13 years of events and raised money for different causes every year and raised millions of dollars in free publicity for the different causes. And it's just been an extraordinary ride. And now there's the 14th annual event that's actually going to be on Zoom this year on the 10th of the 10th. This year, they're always held in line with World Animal Week, which is the 4th to the 10th of October. But you know, I'm so glad that I actually acted on that and did something about it. And so now with the animal action work, I've had so much media, and with the Good News Challenge as well, there's a whole lot of media covering that as well, because, you know, people want more positive stories. A lot of journalists I'm speaking to, they want more positive stories, and any negative can be turned into a positive. So when you're looking at getting your story out, what negatives, what lows have you had in your life that are now you can turn into a positive? Or where have you had turning points, and where have you turned things around? You'll often find that whatever you're passionate about, that there's some kind of link to when you've had some low points in your life, right? So you need to look at all that with the A of the awesome steps, coming back to the A of the awesome steps, right? Yes. The A is articulating your story, getting clear on your product message, etc. The W of the awesome steps is to work angles. So, for example, when we did a fundraiser for the Currumbin Wildlife Hospital, we want to raise money for the koalas. Mm-hmm. One of the angles we used for media then was that koalas are now critically endangered in Australia. There's only 50,000. At the time, there was only 50,000 left in the wild. Now, since we've had all these bushfires, apparently half the population of koalas has now gone. So now there'll be about 25,000 koalas left in the wild in Australia, which is absolutely tragic. It's tragic, absolutely tragic. And once upon a time, there were millions, right? And koalas were actually hunted for their fur back in the in the early days. So we had millions of them. Now we're down to about 25,000 in the wild. And so what I did is I put a press release out and I said, koalas are now critically endangered, only 50,000 it was at the time, left in the wild. However, these are some simple things that everybody can do to help save koalas. One was drive slowly at nighttime. A lot of dead koalas are found right underneath signs where it says, beware of koalas crossing the road. Right, so drive slowly at night. Another thing you can do is plant eucalypt trees. There's not enough eucalypt trees because a lot of their habitat is getting taken down now and a lot of high-rises and buildings are going up, right? So their habitat is disappearing. So plant some eucalypt trees. And the other thing is to contain your dogs at night. A lot of koalas are getting attacked by dogs. Okay, so make sure you contain your dogs at nighttime so they don't attack koalas. So three simple things we can do, and that's a way you can turn a negative into a positive. And here we've got Gold Coasters or the community are battling for koalas, right? So we're fighting the cause, and with the power of the media you can do that. You can fight the cause because you're reaching hundreds of thousands of millions of people with your message. Even if it's just you, one little old you with an idea, you know, you can make a change there. So that's the W, is working the angles of your story so that you can get a message out. And of course that press release pointed to our animal action event, and it was fantastic. You know, we got TV, radio, print coverage as we do with all our events for that's just one small example. So W is work the angles. Then E is elevate your profile, the E of the awesome steps. Elevate your profile. So with elevating your profile, you need to package up what you do in a way that journalists are going to find it effective. Now, there's three parts to this package. The first is a press release. I highly, highly, highly recommend you do a press release. You don't have to do a press release to get coverage, although you increase the chances that the journalist is going to get the facts wrong if you don't have a press release. Yeah. Okay, you want to make their job simple for them. If you have a well-written press release, often the journalist will just copy and paste the article exactly as it is, press release just as it is, straight into their media, whether it's online or even with radio. They've got all their online, right? They've got their websites, their social media that they use print for, right? And then visuals is the next thing. Pictures. What pictures can you put to the media that will go with your story? You need relevant pictures or visuals for TV, radio, or print that are relevant to your story. So with the koala one we did, so we had a lovely photo of our MC from the event. I had a ukulele there because we're showing that there was going to be music, and I do play ukulele, although I didn't play at the event. But you know, we have something showing representing music. We had another lady who was there, who was with the MC. We had a Pavarotti, we had Roger Davey there at the time, who was he does Pavarotti shows, so he was there all dressed up. And then we had a koala, we're actually at the sanctuary where they had a sick koala behind us, and then we had a koala toy for the photo. That was front page of the Gold Coast Sun. It went out to 500,000 people. Nice, colourful picture that represented the story that we were putting out. So, and the third P in this, so you've got press release, you've got photos or pictures, and then the next one is pitch. Okay, so when you're pitching to journalists, you're getting on the phone, or even when you're email pitching, you need to be succinct and to the point. You've only got 45 seconds on the phone pitch to get the journalist's attention. If you lose their attention, they're just going to write you off as bad talent, right, or someone that they, that's just going to waste their time. So your pitch is really crucial. And what time of the day you pitch is also really crucial, depending on the different media outlets, okay? So there's a whole lot to all these three points, but basically packaging up your message in a way that is effective. So the E is elevating your profile using those three things. So the next step is S. The S of the awesome steps is startle the media, getting the media's attention. Now, Richard Branson is a great one to look at because he's known as the PR stunt king. And, you know, he dressed in a wedding dress to promote the Virgin Brides venture as an example, right? So what are you willing to do to put yourself out there? You know, he posed as a Zulu warrior to launch flights to South Africa, right? So what can you do to make what you're doing really visual and colorful? So startling the media is another great one. And you can have an average story, but if you have good visuals to go with it, the media are going to love you and you'll get a better run. Okay, so that's the S of the awesome steps. The O is to own your power. Now, owning your power is building your confidence so that before you go into your interviews, you come across in a confident way you know your story better than anyone else, right? So it's owning your power. It's owning your essence, and so that you come across well in those interviews. And that may involve at this stage, you may want to look at if you've got some nerves coming up around putting yourself out to the media. It could come from some issues you've had in your childhood, in which case you may need to do some deeper inner work to deal with that before you come out and really, really shine the best that you can in your media interviews.
Yes.
Okay, the M is mastering interviews. The M of the awesome steps is mastering your interviews. Now, there's certain things to do before interviews, during interviews, and after interviews. Now, I don't always get this right. Today, I was just hopping off a media consultation and I was running around to get on here. So ideally, you want to be prepared for your media interviews, right? So I'm not a great example of that today. But you know what? I own my stuff. And I'm, you know, and at the same time, you know, you don't want to be apologetic about anything. Things just go the way they go. And particularly with live radio and, you know, sometimes
that's exactly right.
Things don't always
go the way. I knew that you were busy and I know how you work. So I was like, well, I'm just going to go anyway because Aubyn will get on when she gets on and it'll be okay. So it is about that confidence building and being confident that even if something had happened and I had to go on by myself, I still had in my mind what I was going to talk about. So it's about being confident no matter what you think the outcome will be. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And being yourself and be willing to have a laugh at yourself sometimes. And, you know, like I said, oh, you're going to see me naked, you know, like have fun. Have fun with your interviews, you know, and be yourself, be your authentic self because, you know, everyone else is taken anyway, right? So no point comparing yourself to others or trying to be like anyone else. That's just be yourself. People want that authenticity. Right. Authenticity is the new currency. And there's certain things I do before interviews too. Is one thing I do is I take 3 deep breaths before I come into my interviews. And a hot tip that I'll give people too is that I do a little prayer. And, you know, this is not about religion or anything, but I do a prayer and I say, please let me say what needs to be said. And I just trust that the right words come out. Okay. So that's something I always do. And it takes 2 seconds to have that thought or to, you know, take a moment and come in and do the interview. So I find that really good because where nerves come into interviews is where people are focused too much on themselves, right? Therefore, am I looking okay? Am I coming across? I mean, I haven't even got eyeliner on today. I've probably still got smudge makeup from last night, but you know, it is what it is. You know, I threw some lipstick on and here we are, right? So mastering interviews.
It always looks lovely. I always forget about lipstick because I'm talking so much that I just forget about it.
Yes.
I was looking at myself thinking, I need to remember lipstick. I need to remember lipstick.
Yeah, and look, as many times I've done videos with no makeup at all. You know, the thing is you want to be confident in yourself regardless whether you've got makeup, not got makeup. You know, I've even gone on with my hair not done. In fact, a business coach challenged me once. He said, I was pretty much in my 90s. He said, I want you to do a Facebook Live and my hair was all over the place. And he said, I just want to, you know what, I had some of the highest views ever on that Facebook Live that I did with my hair everywhere and looking like I just hopped out of bed, you know, because it was authentic. It was me. It's like, well, who cares? This is me. This is me. Just like the song, right? And The Greatest Showman. This is me. What you see is what you get, right? So there's no point trying to pretend to be someone else. At the same time, whatever it is that makes you feel good in those interviews, some people feel really good having a lot of makeup on, and that includes guys nowadays. We never know, right? We're not discounting guys. Some guys love to wear makeup. But, you know, whatever it is that makes you feel good about yourself, you know, and often when you do groom yourself nicer, you do feel more confident. Yes. Although that confidence needs to shine from within, regardless of your external, of how you're looking, right? So that's the M of the awesome steps is mastering interviews. And then the E is exploding your impact. And exploding the impact, once you get that publicity, what are you then going to do with that? And this is where the online media world comes in, with sharing on social media, with expressing gratitude to the journalists that have interviewed you and the media outlets, you know, emailing your database, letting them know that you've had media coverage, you know, celebrating on your website. There's lots of different things you can do to explode your impact once you get that media coverage. So that's the awesome steps of my mass media mastery model. And part of the program, I've got modules around each of these where I go into a lot more detail. We also look at social media as well. 5 modules of training around different social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube as well, which are the main ones. Now, TikTok is really taking off. And in fact, just a the client I was just with just now, he just said, do you think I should be on TikTok? Now, it's interesting because he has a lot of business clients. And I said, business clients, you want to be on LinkedIn is where you want to play, because that's where over 80% of people on LinkedIn are business owners or decision makers. Now, TikTok, you know, some people are making money from TikTok, but really you could waste a hell of a lot of time over there doing 1 minute videos, and it's not really best use of your time. Or maybe even if you outsource it, is it really best use of your time to be doing 1 minute videos? People waste so much time on TikTok. I suggest you want to focus your energy when you're doing your marketing, so you're not too scattered. Otherwise, you know, you just end up a bit here, a bit there, a bit everywhere, and not having great results.
It's really important to pick what goes with you. So I started out life in Facebook, and I've completely gone away, and LinkedIn and Pinterest are the ones that do amazing things for me. I still have a presence on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, but it's definitely LinkedIn and Pinterest that do the job for me. And that will be different from everyone, won't it, Olwen?
Yes, absolutely. Depends on your target market, who you want to reach. You need to go where your people are. And that's the thing now with the online media world, you know, there's so many people that are making money from online shows because of the reach that they have. So it's working like traditional advertising now, is that people are paying for the reach. They're paying to get in front of their ideal customers, and people are happy to pay because it's a marketing, right? It's a marketing expense. Yes. And at the same time, as much as there's opportunities to pay for media coverage, there's also a hell of a lot of opportunities to get free coverage. And have journalists cover a story. And in fact, free editorial coverage is actually worth, there's a lot of online sources that say this, it's worth 3 to 8 times more in value than you're paying for advertising in traditional media, particularly because you've got 22 times more views of stories versus ads. So if you have a think about it, the way you consume TV, if you're watching a TV show and an ad comes on, what do you do?
What do you do?
There you go. You make a cuppa, you go to the bathroom, you switch off. If it's on radio, if you're going around radio, then you change channels often, right? Yes. So we switch off with ads, and people are paying hundreds and thousands of dollars for advertising that is just not working a lot of the time. Now, with the online advertising world, people can be a lot more targeted because they can reach their demographic with a lot more specificity. Yes. You know, like in Facebook, you can reach your ideal clients, etc. So, you know, the world of that is changing as well, although never underestimate the power of free publicity. And also look at, if you're going to do a podcast show or an online radio show like you're doing here, Tony, then, you know, there's lots you can do to create win-win scenarios, as we talked about last night as well, right? Where you can exchange interviews with people. You know, that's something that you can do. You can offer before you ask, right? Always give more than you receive to receive more than you give. There's so much more I can say around this. It's been an amazing ride, I must say, my whole media journey. You know, I started my own media business actually as a photography business, would you believe it? It was AA Exposé Photography in 2002. And I was working full-time as a journalist at the Gold Coast Sun at the time. And I had a few small car accidents working with a company in Brisbane. I thought, why don't I just do this for myself? So I started a photography business in the film days, right? And I was doing a lot of events. I did the, you know, Blues Festival and I did some amazing events, international conferences, and you know, I've had an amazing ride also with my photography work. And then in 2005, when I left my job as a journalist, my business evolved into AA Exposé Media. And now mainly I focus on media training, on helping to share more truth in the media and more good news.
Yes.
And and that's what I really love. And it's amazing the people that have been drawn to the Mass Media Mastery Program. You know, we have truth seekers, truth speakers, we have light workers, we have people that are out to shift the world. They're change makers. Yes. They're out to shift the world in some way. Yes. And for a long time, a lot of these people have felt like the world's best kept secret, you know, and they've now since COVID's happened, they're like, right, time to step up with my message. You know, you never know when it's all going to be over, right? You could get COVID tomorrow. Yeah, so let's just hurry up and get out there. So it's really awesome. So I love supporting clients through that.
It caused people to think about that whole realm of online media, and there's massive potential in the online world. And if you combine the online with traditional, wow, you're going to make it into so many people's places. They can hear you in the car. If you're listening to online radio, they can hear you in the car, on your phone, whatever. And That's how you connect with people. And once you start to connect with people, then you have those opportunities to speak about what you're passionate about, to help people, to educate people, inspire, empower, and all the good things, and spread the good news, because there's plenty of good news out there. It just tends to get drowned a little bit from all the traditional media that's out there. And so I'm, again, so excited about the potential of all the online media and what it might create and the balance it might bring back to the world for all of us. So, Olwyn, it's been really wonderful having you on the show today. I want you to take the time to tell everyone where they can find you and how they can connect with you.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's been an absolute pleasure. And just on that point you were just making, you know, it's like the yin yang of life. There's always going to be dramas that are going to happen. And the thing to remember here is that at the end of every breakthrough, a breakdown, there's always a breakthrough, right? Breakdowns always lead to breakthroughs. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And it comes down to what are you going to choose to focus on in how you consume messages and the stories you tell yourself when you look at the mirror. What do you say to yourself? Do you say, oh, I've got more wrinkles now today? Or do you say, I'm so grateful that I'm alive and I'm healthy and I'm grateful. You know, people wonder what shoes to wear, and there's people out there with no feet, right? So getting into gratitude, it's such a simple thing we can do every single day. Three things you're grateful for. There's a lot of power in writing down three things you're grateful for. There's even more power in sharing three things you're grateful for. And when it comes to putting messages in the media, now, if you can impact one person with your message, it is worth putting it out. Okay. So don't worry about the thousands and millions of people. You know, when I first appeared on TV, a Cartoon Connection, I was actually a top table tennis player, believe it or not, as a junior in Sydney. And I remember I was on Cartoon Connection, Channel 7 Studios at age 11. And the TV host said to me, as I was looking at the camera, it was one of those massive cameras in the studio. She said, don't think about the 2 million people watching this right now. And so clearly all I thought about was the 2 million people watching this right now, and I freaked out and I froze, and it was the worst interview ever. But what we did have in the studio was we had a great visual opportunity. We had a table tennis table there, and my brother and I, we were playing forehand to forehand. We just kept that ball going, you know, and that was our unconscious competence that we had, that everyone has, that you just do things naturally every day that you don't think is amazing, but other people look at it and say, wow, that is awesome. And I just want to remind people again, your X factor is your story. And if you don't share your story, you could be dead tomorrow. And in fact, the four people that I know that took their own lives, they had no video, they had no stories of them anywhere out in the media. And it was just absolutely tragic, because now all we have to remember those people by is some photos.
Yes.
Right. And it's so I really encourage you, if you have a great message, story, product to share, that you step up and you allow yourself, step up, allow yourself to shine bright, so you can light up others around you. So to get in touch with me, what I recommend you do is check out my website. It's aaxpose.com. Also on Facebook, you can check out the Mass Media Tribe. I invite you to come and join our group, Mass Media Tribe, on Facebook. It is also
great
on Meetup.
Events, people.
Mass Media Tribe. Thank you so much, Tony. Mass Media Tribe, come along, check that out. Eventbrite, if you want to get a listing of all our upcoming events, there's ongoing workshops. And in fact, our next Mass Media Tribe event is on the 3rd of September. Mm. And we've got Annie Carolina Chasen, is from LA, from America. She's going to talk about how to automate Instagram. That's a free event on Zoom. So anyone can hop on from anywhere in the world, and that will be listed also on Eventbrite. If you follow Aldwyn Altenay, just look up my name. I'm the only one there with that name. Aldwyn Altenay or Media Queen, you'll find me clearly. And that's why it's good to have a good, strong brand like Media Queen, because people have trouble with Aldwyn Altenay. And I do have Greek, Turkish, Ukrainian blood, in case you're wondering where that heritage. I have Greek and Ukrainian as well, just to add to the mix. First generation Aussie. Yeah, great mix. AAExpos.com. Come and connect with me there. You're welcome to hop on any of my How to Gain $1 Million worth of free publicity workshops. The next one is coming up 27th of August, and that will be Australian Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 to 1:30 p.m. So people in America can hop on at nighttime the night before on the 26th of August. Love to see you there. And I just want to leave you with a quote, Tony. And I love this quote. It's by Margaret Mead. And it is, a small group of thoughtful people can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has.
Fantastic. Aldwyn, thank you so much for coming on Radio Tony today. And just a reminder to our listeners, if you've forgotten or didn't catch Aldwyn's details, just jump onto radiotony.com. You will see Aldwyn's details and connections on my website as one of my radio guests. So that's radiotony.com if you missed Aldwyn's connections. And that's it. And we're out of time this week. Thank you so much, Aldwyn. Thank you to the team at BBS Radio who keep me online multiple times through the week. I love them to death. And we will join you once again next week. This is your host, Tony Lontis, Radio Tony, and we're done for the week. Over to you guys. Thanks, Aldwyn.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you for watching and listening to Tony TV. For more inspirational stories, join us next week. Bye for now.